I turned the dial and waited, sighing when the heat kicked on and the air began to blow through the vents. "Thank God," I said. The downstairs landline began to ring, and I rushed down the steps to the desk in the foyer. "Front desk."
"Hi, this is Bill in room 6. I have no hot water. It's freezing. I leave to get on the road in an hour. What the hell kind of place are you running? I knew I should have stayed at the Super 8.
"I'm so sorry about the heat. It was turned down somehow, but it's on now. It will be comfortable soon."
"What about the hot water?"
I'm not sure. I'll look into it. I'm so sorry. Breakfast will be ready by the time you're downstairs."
"I won't have time for breakfast,"
he yelled, slamming down the phone. I set the receiver in the base, deflated. "Was that Mr. Heitmeyer?" Willow asked, leaning against the doorframe. Yes.
"Did he just scream at you?"
"No," I shook my head. "No, he's just a loud talker." She nodded once and then headed to the staircase. I ran after her. "Willow, checkout time is in an hour. Mama said you were checking out today?"
"She did?"
"She did." She nodded and, instead of going up the stairs, walked back toward the drawing room. I waited until she was out of sight and then walked down the hall to the basement door. The tart smell of mildew slipped around the inch-thick cracks of the door. I turned to the table in the hall and took a flashlight from a drawer. The metal of the hinges scraped when I pulled the door open, quietly telling me to turn around and walk away. Cobwebs swayed from the ceiling. The concrete walls were cracked and water-stained, the stairs rickety and rotting. I put half my weight on the first step and waited. The last time I ventured into the basement, someone locked me inside for 3 hours, and it gave me waking nightmares for a month. As I descended each wobbly plank, the room grew colder, and I pulled my robe tighter around me. The hot water tanks were standing together on platforms against the far wall. Just past a row of 30 or so suitcases of various shapes and sizes that were parked along the adjacent wall. The already dim glow from the overhead lights didn't quite make it to where the tanks stood, so I pressed the button on the flashlight with my thumb, pointing it into the corner and then gliding it along the wall. I leaned down, shining my light at the base of the first tank. The pilot lights were on. The thermostats were turned all the way down.
"What the—"
Something creaked behind me, and I froze, waiting for another noise. Nothing. I turned the dial on the first tank, and then the next. Gravel softly scratched the concrete floor.
"Who's there?"
I asked, shining my flashlight. I jumped and yelped, covering my mouth. Mama slowly turned to face me, standing on her bare feet, looking pale and angry. Her fingers pinched and twisted the same section of her thin cotton nightgown over and over.
"What are you doing down here?"
I asked. The anger on her face melted away, and she peered around the basement, seeming confused.
"I was looking for something."
"Were you trying to fix the tanks?" I asked. I bent down, shining the flashlight on the controls, rotating the rest of the dials. "Mama," I said, peering up at her, "did you do this?" She just stared at me, looking lost. "Did you do that to the thermostat upstairs, too?"
"We have a guest. Why would you—"
She touched her chest.
"Me? I didn't do this. Someone is trying to sabotage us. Someone wants the Juniper to close down."
The pilot lights were brighter, one after another igniting the flames beneath, causing a low humming to come from the tanks. I stood, exasperated.
"Who, Mama? Who would care enough about our failing bed and breakfast to sabotage it?"
"It's not about the bed and breakfast. Don't you see? It's what we're trying to do here. We're being watched, Catherine. I think it's..."
"Who?"
"I think it's your father." My face metamorphosed from annoyance to rage.
Don't say that.
I've suspected for months.
Mama, it's not him.
He's been sneaking in here, changing things, scaring our guests away. He never wanted this bed and breakfast. He doesn't like our guests. He doesn't want them around you.
Mama, he left us, Catherine.
He left us, and now he's trying to ruin us.
Mama, stop. He didn't leave us. He's dead.
Mama's wet eyes met mine. It took her a long time to speak, and when she did, her voice was broken.
You're so cruel, Catherine.
She turned and climbed the steps, shutting the door behind her. Chapter 17. Catherine. Each class was a blur. The teachers spoke, and I pretended to listen, but my head was swarming with worry and foggy from sleep deprivation. Mr. Heitmeyer would not be back to the Jupiter, and part of me hoped no one else would come. The clouds outside were low and gray. I stared outside, watching school buses and cars pass, their tires sloshing through the rivers that were lining the streets. The forecast called for freezing rain by noon, and everyone was out trying to buy bread and milk and fill their gas tanks, as if one loaf of bread and one tank of gas was the difference between life and death. The last 10 minutes before lunch, I sat with my chin in my hand, blinking to keep my heavy eyes from staying closed. Each minute felt like an hour, and by the time the bell rang, I felt too tired to move.
"Catherine?"
Mrs. Faust said, her carrot-colored hair sticking up in places like she'd taken a nap between classes and forgotten to comb it. The other students had already packed up and left for lunch. I was still struggling with getting my things together.
"Come up here, Catherine. I want to chat."
I did as she asked, waiting while she finished filing a small stack of papers.
"You're quieter than usual. You look exhausted. Everything okay at home? I know you've been helping your mom."
"The hot water went out early this morning. I'll get caught back up on sleep tonight."
Mrs. Faust frowned. "Have you spoken to Mrs. Mason lately?"
I nodded. Mrs. Faust studied me with the familiar stare I experienced when someone was trying to figure out if I was covering for Mama.
"All right. Have a good lunch. See you tomorrow."
I offered her a smile and then dragged myself to Locker 347, where Elliot was waiting. This time, he wasn't waiting alone. He was standing with Sam Soap, one of the receivers on the football team, and his girlfriend, Madison. They had the same color hair, and her blonde locks hung nearly to her waist. Both looked unsure about standing next to my locker.
"How are you feeling?"
Elliot asked, hugging me to his side.
"Still tired."
I asked Sam and Maddie to lunch. "Hope that's all right."
The couple watched me, expecting an answer and hopeful for the right one. Sam was the great-grandson of James and Edna Soap, the original power couple of Oak Creek. James Soap started in oil but branched out, his fingers in everything from convenience stores to laundromats. Sam's family was wealthy, but Sam wasn't the outgoing type. He had all the makings of a popular kid, a big house, brand-name clothes, and athleticism. He was a co-captain on the football team, and he'd asked Madison to be his girlfriend in the fifth grade. Sam was in line to be valedictorian, but his hobbies included Madison Sailor and not much else. Madison was known for being quiet, except for the occasional outburst. The previous year, she was sent to the office for hurling shocking insults at Scotty Neal for mouthing off to Sam. Madison's dad was a deacon at the Oak Creek Christian Church, her mother the piano player. Her parents kept her home, out of harm's way, sure to not let anything bad happen to her, or anything happen to her at all.
"Is it?"
Elliot asked.
"Okay."
"Yeah, I mean... yeah."
I stumbled over the words, wondering what he was up to. Elliot took my hand, and we walked down the hall, following Sam and Madison. Sam pushed the double doors open for his girlfriend. Their movements seemed to be in unison, their expressions communicating to each other without saying anything at all. Instead of taking Elliot's Chrysler, we walked toward Madison's black Toyota 4Runner. "We're not taking your car?" I asked, immediately feeling uncomfortable.
"Maddie offered to drive," Elliot said.
"You want to sit in front with me?" Madison asked with a smile. A sudden irrational worry that I'd be stranded somewhere away from school popped into my thoughts. Elliot would never let that happen, though. Even if it did, he wouldn't let me walk back alone, but I was exhausted and incapable of taming my anxiety. I said, "I forgot I was just going to eat here."
"I've got it, Catherine. Don't worry," Elliot said.
"It's not about the money," I said.
"Then what is it?" Elliot asked.
I peeked over at Sam and Madison. Sam was opening his door, already getting into the back seat. Madison was still standing next to the driver's side door, patience and kindness in her eyes. I was stalling, trying to decide if the embarrassment of running away would be worse than the anxiety. Elliot looked to Madison.
"Give us a sec."
"Sure," she said, opening her door and then sitting behind the wheel. Her voice sounded like birdsong, childlike and sweet. Elliot hunched over and tilted his head, trying to force his way into my line of sight. He cupped my shoulders. "I told you," I whispered. "I can't. Owen and Minka wanted to come over. They were curious. When I tell Madison and Sam no, the rumors will start all over again. It's just easier to..."
"It's just lunch. We're not gonna go to your house."
"This won't end well."
"You don't know that. You deserve friends, Catherine. Maddie said she's always thought you were nice. Her parents are overbearing, so she won't even ask to come to the Juniper because she can't. Sam is on the football team, and he's really cool. He's not a roid freak like the rest of those idiots. That's why I picked them." "Come on, please."
"You picked them? What are you doing? You're shopping for friends for us now? Am I too boring to hang out with alone?"
"No, that's not it at all. I've already told you why. You deserve friends."
I sighed in resignation. Elliot's mouth stretched across his face in a wide grin, and he reached for the passenger side, pulling on the handle. I slid in next to Madison and fastened my seatbelt, hearing Elliot slam the back door behind me. My seat inched back as he used it to lean forward, and then he kissed me quickly on the cheek. "So," Madison said, "Sonic or Brahms? Brahms or Sonic?"
"Sonic,"
Sam said from the back. Madison backed out of her spot and pulled forward, driving cautiously with the parking lot traffic. Madison flipped on her blinker, and once we arrived at the stop sign, she barely paused before taking off.
"We still need to get you some driving time in," Elliot said.
"You don't have your license yet?" Madison asked, judgment absent from her voice. I shook my head. "I was supposed to learn in my dad's Buick, but it's sort of been sitting in the yard since..."
"Oh, right, since he died," Sam said.
I was glad I couldn't see Elliot's face. I knew this short lunch trip was meant to be a trial run. He'd been asked to several parties and turned them down because he refused to go without me. It was a sweet gesture, but I couldn't help but feel he was missing out. "Yeah," I said, not knowing what else to say.
"So, your house," Sam began. "Is it really haunted?"
Madison covered the giggle bubbling from her mouth. She pressed on the brakes, stopping at the first of the only four stoplights in Oak Creek. "Sam, don't be stupid." Sam sat forward.
"We watch paranormal ghost homes every Sunday night. is kind of our thing. We think it's pretty cool if it is.
It's not haunted, I said, seeing Presley's white Mini Cooper sitting next to us. I tried not to stare, but from the corner of my eye, I could see the excitement and activity under the convertible's top. Madison turned and made a face. Are they all having seizures? She asked, rolling down my window with a push of a button. The cold air breached the vehicle, instantly burning my skin. What? Madison called. I sat back, making it clear that I had no intention of engaging. Oh my God, Natty! Does your mother know you're giving rides to hobos? Presley asked. The clones cackled loudly. Madison turned to glance at Elliot. I couldn't see his face, but gauging by Madison's response, he wasn't happy.
Shut your whore mouth!
She yelled. The words didn't match her high-pitched, sweet voice. Elliot and Sam burst into laughter. My mouth fell open, just like Presley's and her friend's. Madison pressed the button again. The passenger side window finished its rise to the top as she began to speak.
Ugh, ignore them. Tatum likes Elliot, so they're on a mission to make you miserable.
Good to know that hasn't changed, I said under my breath.
What? What do you mean?
She asked. Elliot spoke up.
They've been giving her a hard time for years.
Really? I didn't know that. Did you know that, Sam?
Madison asked, looking at him in the rearview mirror.
No, but I'm not surprised. The whole football team calls them the Brew Bitches.
Madison frowned.
Brew Bitches? Oh, because Presley's last name is Brubaker? Got it.
She giggled.
Good one.
The light turned green and she pressed on the gas. The lights seemed to keep changing for her until we reached the northeast corner of town. Madison turned the Forerunner left toward Sonic and then whipped her car to the right, jerking the car into the first open space she found.
Sorry for the terrible driving, she said. We got a late start, so I wanted to make sure we snagged a spot.
She rolled down her window, and once again, the air bit at my nose and cheeks. Madison reached down to press the button on the speaker box and then turned to us.
What does everyone want?
Cheeseburger, Elliot said.
Cheeseburger,
Sam said. Madison waited for me to answer, but the speaker began to squawk.
Welcome to Sonic. May I take your order?
Madison hummed. Two cheeseburger meals.
Number one or two?
The girl on the other end of the speaker asked.
Mustard,
both boys said.
Twos,
Madison said.
Chili cheese coney and...
I nodded. That sounds good. I'll go with that.
Drinks?
Madison asked.
Vanilla Coke,
Sam said.
Cherry vanilla limeade,
Elliot said. I nodded.
That sounds good, too.
Madison finished ordering and then rolled up her window, rubbing her hands together. She reached down and turned the heater on full blast. I closed my eyes, basking in the heat as Elliot, Sam, and Madison chatted about their school day, who was dating whom, and the away game that weekend. Mama kept the juniper so cold, and school wasn't much better. The hot air coming from the vents felt like a warm blanket, and I let my body relax against the seat, happily baking in the heat.
Catherine?
Elliot said. My lids popped open.
What? I'm sorry. The game is in UConn this weekend, Madison said with amusement. I'm still in the process of talking my dad into finally letting me drive to one, but it will be easier to convince him if I bring a friend. You want to drive with me? Road trip!
Mama was acting stranger than usual, and so were the guests. I was afraid of being gone an entire day would put her over the edge.
I can't. I'm working.
Elliot kept quiet, and an awkward silence filled the car until Sam piped up again.
What's it like? Sam asked. Living there?
Cold, I said, fingering the vent.
But what about the people coming in and out? It would be weird to have strangers living in my home, Sam said.
They don't live there, and they're not strangers. We mostly have regulars.
What are they like?
Madison asked. I'm not really supposed to.
Please,
Madison said. We're so curious. I'm not trying to pry, but you're kind of an enigma.
Good word, Maddie, Sam said, impressed.
Madison smirked.
I've been studying for the SAT. So, Catherine, pretty please?
I glanced back at Elliot. He was unhappy.
You don't have to, Catherine. I told them not to grill you.
I met their gazes, one by one, feeling the blood under my face ignite.
You did what?
Elliot's expression changed from irritation to recognition.
I knew they were curious about you and the house, and you wouldn't want to answer a bunch of questions, so I told them before lunch not to, you know, bug you about it.
The thought of Elliot having to give a disclaimer before something as simple as a car ride to a half-hour lunch was so humiliating that I wasn't sure how to respond.
Catherine,
he began. I had to do something, to say something, so I didn't look like the freak everyone thought I was. My mom, Mavis, checks people in and keeps things in order during the day. We have Althea, who comes to visit her grandchildren, Duke, who stays while he's working in the area. Sometimes he brings his daughter, Poppy. My uncle and cousin sometimes visit. A girl named Willow. I think she's just a year older than me. She passes through sometimes.
But is it haunted?
Sam asked.
It's gotta be haunted. You can tell us.
No. The juniper was full of frightening things, but they were real. Sam looked confused.
But didn't your dad die in there?
Sam!
Madison snapped.
Okay, that's enough, Elliot said.
The car hop tapped on the glass, startling Madison. She rolled down the window, taking the money Sam and Elliot handed her. We took our food, and Madison proved adept at driving and eating at the same time. But as hungry as I was before, the hot dog smothered in chili and melted cheese was no longer appetizing. Madison looked over at me with apologetic eyes.
"We're going to have less than 5 minutes once we get back," Madison said. "You should eat."
"Here,"
Elliot said, opening his sonic sack.
"Put it in here, and we'll eat in the commons."
I dropped my coney inside, and Elliot rolled the top of the bag down. I sipped on my drink until we got to school, pulling the handle the second Madison put her car in park.
"Catherine,"
Elliot called to me, jogging to my side with his sonic sack in one hand. He had already inhaled his meal, but I was sure he'd follow me around with my food until I ate it.
"Hey,"
he said, tugging on my sweater until I stopped.
"I'm sorry."
"That was so humiliating,"
I seethed.
"First you're talking people into being my friend, then you're vetting them?"
"I just want you to be happy,"
he said, sad.
"I've already told you, I don't want friends."
He sighed.
"Yes, you do. And you should be able to go out and do normal high school stuff. You should go to parties and road trips, to ball games, and
maybe it's just a personal preference. Not everyone has to like partying and going to ball games."
"You don't like going to my games?"
he asked, surprised. My shoulders sagged. The expression on his face made me feel ashamed.
"Of course I do. I just think maybe we're different."
"Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me stop you right there. I don't like where this is going."
Elliot's expression tightened, a deep line forming between his brows. His hands were shaking, his mouth twitching.
"That's not what I meant. I don't mean that,"
I said, not even wanting to say the word breakup. Elliot was my best friend. The only thing I remembered about my life before he came back was feeling miserable. His shoulders relaxed and he exhaled.
Okay,
he nodded.
Good.
He took my hand and led me inside, finding a spot in the commons area. We sat, and he unrolled the sack, handing me my chili cheese coney. He checked his watch.
First bell rings in 6 minutes.
I nodded, peeling my food out of its wrapper and taking a bite. My appetite hadn't returned, but I knew Elliot would make a big deal if I didn't eat. As soon as the savory meat, sauce, and melted cheese hit my tongue, I was glad I did. It was the best thing I'd ever tasted. Dad wasn't a fan of eating out, and after he'd died, we couldn't afford to. I would splurge on the occasional ice cream cone in the summers, mainly to get out of the house, but Sonic was too far away from the Juniper, and now I would have to figure out how to make this at home so I could experience it again. Oh my God, I said, taking another large bite. Elliot grinned.
You've never had a chili cheese dog?
I swallowed.
No, but it's now my favorite food ever.
Who knew a hot dog could be transformed into the equivalent of heaven inside my mouth with a scoop of chili and some melted cheese? I took another bite, humming as I chewed. I took the last bite and sat back, feeling full and euphoric.
What is that? I've never seen that look on your face,
Elliot said, looking just as happy as I felt. That is grease and sodium filling my belly, and I don't have to do the dishes after. Elliot's smile fell away, and he leaned forward, cautious.
Why don't you let me help you on the weekends? You work so hard, Catherine. I'm not going to judge you. No matter what it is you don't want me to see, I'm not going to think of you any different.
I paused. What I wanted to say would take us down a path I couldn't go. You can't. Elliot's jaw ticked. I hadn't seen him angry since we were 15. In fact, he was one of the most even-tempered and patient people I had ever met, but my resistance to let him inside was wearing on him.
What were you really going to say?
The bell rang and I smiled, standing up. I'd better go. Mr. Simons will wring my neck if I'm late again. Elliot nodded, unhappy. I rushed to my locker and then down C Hall to my physiology class. The second bell rang just as I sat down, and Mr. Simons peeked up at me before returning to his planner. Hey, Madison said, sliding into the desk next to me. Minka usually sat there, so I was surprised to hear a different, nicer voice coming from that direction. I'm really sorry about today. We were just excited that you were coming to lunch, and we both got carried away. I arched an eyebrow.
Excited?
She shrugged. You're a person. I get it. We shouldn't treat you like a novelty. But everyone is so curious about you, and you're so private, and so everyone speculates. There are some wild stories out there about you.
About me?
Yes, she said with a giggle. I promise we'll be cool next time. Elliot was hoping you'd ride to the game with me. His mom couldn't get off work, and his aunt and uncle can't go, so... Oh, I said. I hadn't realized that no one would be there to watch Elliot play, and he'd be playing against his old UConn teammates. He was going to be under a lot of pressure, and someone needed to be there. Oh, hell, I said, touching my forehead. This Friday is November 16th. Yeah? Madison said, batting her long lashes. I covered my eyes with my hand and groaned. It's also Elliot's birthday. I'm awful. No wonder he was so hurt.
You're right. You have to go. You have to.
I nodded.
You're in the wrong seat,
Minka barked. Madison looked up, instantly annoyed.
Are you a toddler? You can't wait 5 seconds while I finish my conversation with my friend?
Minka's eyes targeted me.
Your friend?
She said, Unconvinced, Madison stood up, meeting Minka's gaze.
What of it?
Minka sat, giving me one last glance before cowering in her seat. I wanted to high-five Madison, but settled for an appreciative grin. She winked at me and then walked to her desk in the back.
Please turn your textbooks to page 173, Mr. Simon said. The study guide will be online tonight, and the test is Friday. Don't forget the paper on disuse muscle atrophy is due Monday.
Besides the paper for Mr. Simon's, I had homework in three other classes, plus work at the Juniper and the game. I wasn't sure I could fit it all in, but Elliot needed me. I turned to Madison, waiting until she looked at me, to give her a thumbs up and mouth, I'm in. She clapped her hands together a few times without sound, and I turned around, smiling. It would be a delicate balance, having friends and keeping the Juniper private, but for the first time, I felt it was possible.
Chapter 18. Elliot. The brakes of the Chrysler whined as it came to a stop in front of the Calhoun mansion. Catherine was sitting next to me on the bench seat, seeming content with her hand in mine. Most teenagers felt stress their senior year, but for college applications, SAT scores, and ordering caps and gowns on time, Catherine was trapped deep inside something darker. All I wanted to do was save her or even just make it easier somehow, more bearable. But she wouldn't let me in. She'd been handling it all on her own for so long, I wasn't sure she knew how to let someone else help. But I had to try. I'm going to warn you now. This weekend is driving practice number two, I said, squeezing her hand. The beginnings of a smile turned her mouth upward. Really? You're turning 18 in a few months, and you've only driven once. Catherine peered over at Mr. Calhoun's Buick. It had sat next to the house in the same spot since the day I'd left. The day Mr. Calhoun was taken away in an ambulance and never came home. Grass had grown up around his car and died away for two summers, and two of the tires were flat. I don't know why you're so adamant for me to drive. I don't have a car, Catherine said. I was thinking more about taking turns driving when we start traveling. We only need one car for that.
Traveling?
After graduation, remember? We talked about it before your first driving lesson. I thought we'd agreed. That it was set in stone? It bothered me that she had to ask.
I know, but you're probably going to college, and I haven't seen you with your camera in a long time.
I gestured to the back, and she turned, seeing my camera bag on the seat.
You're still taking pictures? She asked.
Tons.
So you're like a ninja paparazzi. That's kind of creepy.
I photograph more things than just you, I said with a smirk.
Like what?
Football practice, the guys on the athletics bus, leaves, trees, insects, empty benches, my aunt cooking, whatever catches my eye.
Good to know I'm not the only one you stalk.
You're still my favorite subject.
Maybe you can take photography in college. Not that you're not already good, but if you love it so much, you should.
The smile that was on my face melted away. I wasn't sure if I was going to college or not.
Coach said some scouts will be at the UConn game. The entire team is pissed at me for leaving. It's going to get dirty. Of all the games for the scouts to watch. I told Maddie I'd ride with her.
I checked for some sign that she was joking.
Are you messing with me?
No, I wouldn't do that. A huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. Catherine couldn't do anything about the hell they'd inevitably put me through on the field, but knowing she was out there cheering me on would help me fight through it.
You're really going to ride with Maddie? Do you know my aunt and uncle can't go?
Maddie mentioned it.
So you're going. It's your birthday. I'm going.
A wide grin stretched across my face.
You remembered that?
You're a Scorpio. I'm an Aquarius. It means we're terrible for each other. I'm sure I memorized that entire summer, but especially that. I stared at her in awe.
shaking my head and then cupping her face, planting a soft kiss on her lips. I leaned forward, touching her forehead to mine. She had to love me. She had to. I closed my eyes. Promise me something.
What?
She asked. Please let this be something that lasts. Not like our parents. Not something trivial. I don't want to be the high school boyfriend you tell your friends about when you're an adult. You give me too much credit, assuming I'll have friends.
You'll have friends. Lots of friends. People who adore you like I do.
She lifted her chin and rose up on the balls of her feet to kiss me one last time before she pulled on the handle. It stuck, so I reached across and pushed on it hard enough that it opened. I gently held her arm, stopping her before she stepped out onto the curb. The Chrysler was our space, a place where outside forces couldn't touch. I felt more connected with her there and brave enough to tell her whatever was on my mind. I love you, Catherine. Her eyes sparkled.
I love you too.
The door closed, and I watched her walk through the gate and up the steps. She paused before going in, turning to wave at me.
Chapter 19. Catherine. I stood on the porch and waved to Elliot. It wasn't yet 4 o'clock, but already the sun was low in the sky. I didn't want to go in, so I waved at him for too long. I didn't want him to worry more than he already was, but there I stood, blatantly delaying the moment of walking into the juniper. The days were shorter, and dark things happened at the juniper at night. The guests were up more, walking the halls, unable to sleep, whispering to one another about plans to keep the bed and breakfast going, to keep me there. As the days passed, they were only more restless, worried about the juniper's future and worried what would happen if I tried to leave. I watched Elliot wave back at me, waiting until I was safely inside, because he didn't know my frightening reality. If I told him what I'd gone through and was going through now, he would believe me. If I told him, he would keep me safe, but I wasn't sure I could do the same for him. The truth would only trap him like it had me. He couldn't tell. He couldn't fight it. He would be reduced to watching helplessly on the sidelines, just as he was doing now. Telling him would change nothing. I opened the door just enough that he'd pull away, feeling sentimental as I watched the Chrysler drive farther down the street. A tear welled up in my eye. I was ignoring the inevitable, selfishly enjoying my time with Elliot while I could. After graduation, he was going to leave me, again, because I couldn't go with him. Mama didn't have anyone else. Last time, it was his mom's fault. This time, it would be mine. As the door opened, I saw Poppy in her favorite dress, sitting in the middle of the floor, her face in her hands.
"Poppy?" I said, kneeling beside her. "What is it?"
She looked up at me with wet eyes.
"I tried to help today. I tried, and I think I broke the washing machine."
I took in a deep breath, trying not to panic.
"Show me."
Poppy stood and led me by the hand to the utility room. Suds and water were all over the floor, the machine silent. I reached behind to turn off the water and then peered into the drum. Towels that were once white were now pink, mixed with Mama's favorite red sweater that was supposed to be washed by hand. I pressed my fingers to my forehead.
"Oh, my. Well, first things first. The mop."
Poppy scampered off and, within seconds, brought me the mop and a bucket.
"Poppy, I know. No more helping. We've talked about this. When you're here, you wait for me."
Poppy nodded, her fingers in her mouth.
"I'm sorry." "So, what have you been up to?"
I asked, hoping she'd talk while I worked. I put dry towels into laundry baskets and then separated the soaked items.
"How are you going to fix it?"
she asked.
"I think," I grunted, "if I just
tighten the hose, it should be okay. I wish Elliot... I trailed off.
Elliot who?
I smiled. Elliot's a friend. Poppy frowned.
The boy with the camera?
Yes, from the backyard. I forgot you were there that day. I stood up and stretched my back.
Now, where do you suppose we've put the wrench?
I looked through the cabinets in the kitchen and utility room, finally finding the toolbox in the cabinet next to the washing machine. I pulled the washer away from the wall and, after a few turns of the wrench, turned on the water and then the washer and watched it as it filled without leaking all over the floor. Poppy clapped.
See? You didn't need Elliot.
I guess not, I said, blowing a strand of hair from my face.
You know what we should do now?
Poppy shook her head. I hugged her to me. We should read Alice in Wonderland. Poppy stepped back and bounced up and down, clapping again.
Really?
Yes, and then I have to work on a paper.
I'll get the book,
Poppy said, leaving me alone in the utility room. Isn't that paper due on Monday? Mama asked from the kitchen. I wiped my brow.
Yes, but I was going to talk to you about Friday night.
Elliot has a game. It's out of town. Mama didn't answer, so I walked around the corner. She looked better than she had the night I'd found her in the basement. She seemed rested, the color back in her cheeks.
Mama? I heard you. You said you had a paper due Monday.
She was busy putting away dishes, avoiding eye contact.
I was going to start on it tonight so I'd have it finished in time.
What about the rest of your homework?
I'll get it done.
What about the juniper? I fidgeted, picking at my fingers until I conjured up the courage.
I'd like Friday night off.
It took a full minute for Mama to answer. I knew Duke was close, so I hoped she wouldn't get angry and her yelling would get his attention. It wouldn't be the first time he'd tried to discipline me for Mama.
If you just tell me what you need done, I can try to finish it Thursday night, and Friday morning before school.
She looked away, shaking her head.
Mama,
you listen to me, Catherine. I knew that boy was trouble the first time you talked about him. You moped around this house for 2 years after he left, and now that he's back, you've fallen right back into his claws. He's using you. The second he graduates, he'll be out of here, and he won't look back.
That's not true.
You don't know anything. I know that he's asked me to come with him after graduation. He wants to travel, Mama, and he wants me with him.
He loves me.
She turned her back to me and chuckled, the tittering, scary laugh she had just before she lost her temper. But this time, she was quiet, and that was more frightening than Duke.
You're not leaving, she said finally. We discussed it.
Who discussed it?
The guests and me.
The other night, we agreed.
You agreed?
Mama, I pleaded.
What are you talking about? The guests don't get to decide that for me. You don't get to decide.
You're staying.
The game is just 90 minutes away,
I begged. After graduation, I need you here. You can't go. Everything I wanted to say caught in my throat behind years of pent-up frustration and loneliness. She knew what I'd been through, how miserable I was in the juniper, but she didn't care. She couldn't, because the alternative was to sink with the ship. My shoulders sagged. Part of me hoped she would release me and tell me to go. I'm not going after graduation, Mama. I've already decided. Mama turned, wringing her apron in her hands with tears in her eyes.
You have?
I nodded, and Mama walked the few steps to wrap me in her arms, her shoulders shaking with each sob.
Thank you, Catherine. I've told them you wouldn't leave us. I knew it.
I let her go. Told who? You know, the guests. Except for that Bill fellow. I don't think he'll be back, she said, almost to herself. Althea is the only one who thinks it's a good idea that you go. Bill? She waved me away. Oh, Mr. Heitmeyer, he was fit to be tied when he left. He's the sort who needs a cold shower. I don't know what the fuss was about. She cupped my shoulders. Catherine, you keep this place running. You keep us together. If it weren't for you, we couldn't keep going the way we are. I frowned, letting her words simmer. I'm taking Friday night off. Mama nodded her head. Okay, that's fair. You promised not to leave. I know what I said. I left her to go upstairs, picking up my backpack along the way. A flash of black caught my eye, and I passed my bedroom and the guest rooms to peer around the corner. A four-wheeled carry-on was standing with the handle fully extended next to the stairway that led to Mama's room. I checked the luggage tag, praying I wasn't right. William Heitmeyer, 674 Oleander Boulevard, Wilkes Bar, Pennsylvania, 18769. My breath caught and I backed away from the roller bag. There were two rows of suitcases in the basement, all with different names. Mr. Heitmeyer's would be added to the pile of things left behind. That's what Mama called them. My head began to spin, and my chest felt tight. People didn't just leave things behind. I didn't believe that anymore. Not since Elliot came back. Catherine? Althea said. I jumped, then touched my hand to my chest. Oh, Althea, do you know about this? I asked, gesturing to the bag. Althea scanned the bag and then smiled at me. No. Want me to ask your mama when I see her? No, that's okay. I'll ask her. Thanks. I made my way to my room. Everything okay, sugar? All good. Let me know if you need anything. I called back. You do the same, she said. I could hear the uncertainty in her voice, and I was sure to her my behavior seemed odd, but it was best not to drag Althea into any suspicious activity. Althea was the only solid ground I had within the walls of the Juniper, and I didn't want her to be involved in whatever that suitcase meant. The four books inside my bag hit my bed with a thud, and I sat down next to it. After 5 minutes, Poppy still hadn't come in for the story. I was glad. I had too much to do before the game. The night meeting, when the guests were in one room, talking in frightened, panicked voices, was about me, and it was disturbing to know I was the reason for it. I wondered if it was the first one, and if there would be more. With all of them so invested in preventing my departure, I had to wonder what they had planned for me. I cracked my book open, fishing a pen out of the front zipper pocket of my bag. Mrs. Faust wanted a 500-word literary analysis of Grendel. That wouldn't be so difficult if I didn't also have the paper on muscle atrophy, two worksheets for Mr. Mason, and geometry homework. The good news was that none of it was due until Monday. I was too exhausted to concentrate, so the new plan was to take a nap before diving into Grendel's supernatural powers and how his bitterness for the Danes led to his demise. Someone knocked on my door, and I blinked, my head feeling almost too heavy to move. "Who is it?" I asked. "It's me," Mama said. I sat up. "The suitcase in the hallway. There are some girls for you at the door." "Girls?" I asked, putting emphasis on the plural. "Yes, girls. Now don't be rude and keep them waiting." "Are they inside?" "No, silly. On the porch swing." My curiosity helped me leave my bed and make my way downstairs to the porch. It shouldn't have surprised me that Presley and her clones were there, as Mama had said. "What do you want?"
I asked. Presley pushed off with her foot, swaying back and forth on my swing, the same one where I felt so safe with Elliot. It made me angry that she was tainting that memory.
Why so angry, Kit Kat? We're just here to talk.
I waited, knowing she'd tell me whether I prompted her or not.
We hear you're going to the game on Friday. True?
None of your business, I said. Presley giggled, and her clones mimicked her. Anna Sue, Tara, Tatum, and Bree were all bundled in coats, puffs of white air wafting from their mouths as they laughed. I realized I was cold, standing only in a long-sleeved T-shirt and jeans. Anna Sue stood up and circled around me, standing between me and the lattice. I kept my back to the door, unsure of what they were planning. Anna Sue pulled at one of her platinum curls.
You and Elliot are so cute. Tell us, how did that happen?
I frowned.
Was it his idea for you to go to UConn, or Madison and Sam's?
Presley asked. When she realized I was going with the silent treatment, she took it up a notch.
You know, Elliot missed one hell of a party last weekend. Tatum asked him to go, but he refused to go without poor Princess Catherine.
Don't call me that, I snapped. Presley's smug grin burned a hole through my patience.
Has he said why he dotes on you?
He's told the football team.
He's explained to his friends when they tease him.
It's sad, really, Tatum said. She was staring past me, her focus somewhere else. She genuinely felt sorry for Elliot.
What do you want? I asked again. We just came to warn you, Presley said, standing, that Madison is apparently excited that creepy Catherine is riding with her to the game tomorrow night because she tells whoever asks. It was the hot topic after school. I know you don't have a phone, but you are all over the group chat, and it's just you and Madison. All alone.
Presley stepped toward me, and she called me a whore.
Get to the point, Presley. I have things to do, I snarled.
My point, she said, accentuating the T, is that you have a special surprise waiting for you in UConn.
Very special, Tatum said with a smile.
Looking forward to seeing you there,
Tara said, turning to follow a smiling Presley to the gate.
So don't miss it,
Anna Sue said before following her friends.
Seriously?
I asked. All five girls turned. I was tired, behind on homework and housework, and they had come to my house to issue threats.
You're threatening me? Are we talking a brawl or a carry situation?
I asked. Presley crossed her arms. You'll find out. I stepped down one stair and then another, feeling the juniper at my back.
You don't scare me, Presley. You never have. I'm going to the game.
Good,
she said with a smile.
It would be a shame if you didn't.
They left through the gate, and it clanged behind them. The clones piled into Presley's Mini Cooper, and then they drove off, chattering and laughing like they'd just left an amusement park. I turned on my heel, pushed through the door, and ran up the stairs, falling onto my bed face first. No tears came. Instead, a rage welled up inside me that I hadn't felt since I thought Elliot had left without saying goodbye. A light knock on the door preceded a long, drawn-out creaking noise as whoever it was pushed it open.
Sugar? Althea said in her slow, rich voice. Are those girls bothering you?
No, I said into my comforter. Althea put her warm hand on my back.
Goodness, you're ice cold, child. What were you thinking standing outside without a coat?
I don't know. I couldn't feel it, I said. I wanted to be alone. But Althea had always been good to me. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. She rubbed my back for a minute and then spoke again.
What did they say to you?
That if I went to the game, they were going to do something to me.
They threatened you? They came here, to our house, and threatened my Catherine? Oh, no. Surely not.
I sat up, feeling my eyebrows pull together. They did.
And what did you do? You know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to march right up to their mamas and...
She caught a glimpse of my expression and took a breath, smiling as she touched my hair.
You're right. I know, you're right. You can handle it just fine on your own.
Althea?
Yes, baby.
Mama said you had a meeting the other night with the other guests. She said you were talking about me. Althea pressed her palms against her skirt, looking uncomfortable.
She did she? I wish she hadn't.
Why were you having a meeting about me? Althea touched my cheek with her warm palm and smiled with maternal affection.
You don't worry about anything, you hear me? We've got it all taken care of.
What? You've got what taken care of?
How to keep this place going. There aren't a lot of us, but we depend on the juniper. We're working together.
But why were you talking about me?
Because you're part of it, baby.
But Mama said you didn't think I should stay.
I don't,
she said, fidgeting with her dress again.
But I was outvoted. Now, it's my job to make sure you're happy here.
I smiled at her. Isn't that my job? Althea's eyes filled with happy tears, and she kissed my cheek.
My goodness, look what you've gone and done.
She dug into her pocket and pulled out a tissue. She leaned in, touching my knee.
You go to that game, and you show those girls they can't run you off. Elliot's a good boy. He'll take care of you.
He says he loves me.
Loves you?
She blew out a breath through her lips.
Well, what's not to love?
I sat on the bed, watching Althea gather herself. She walked over to my dresser and picked up the music box, giving it a few turns before waving to me and closing the door behind her. I lay back, looking up at the ceiling, letting my eyes grow heavy to the familiar chime. Chapter 20. Catherine. Madison had only been driving 45 minutes before the sun began to set. Sleet had been forecast for the way home, but 15 minutes from Oklahoma City, tiny balls of white began to plink against the windshield.
"Don't worry," Madison said. "My dad made me pack an entire arsenal of winter survival gear in the back."
"Is this really your first time driving to a game out of town?" I asked.
"Yes," she said sheepishly. "I usually drive with my parents, but now that I have you to come with me..."
I smiled. It felt nice to be wanted. "Thanks for inviting me. I didn't know I wanted to go." She shrugged, keeping her eyes on the road.
"You work a lot. You have more responsibilities than most of us. I'll just remind you now and then. I mean, if that's okay. I don't know, you might not even like me."
I chuckled.
"I like you."
"Good," she smiled.
"That's good. I don't have many friends. Most people think I'm quirky."
"Me too." Madison was a breath of fresh air. She reminded me of the way Elliot made me feel, relaxed and normal. He was right about introducing me to her, and I wondered if he knew me better than I knew myself.
Madison gasped and reached for the radio. She turned up the volume and bobbed her head.
"Gah, I love this song!"
I smiled and sat back, closing my eyes. The music flowed through the speakers and into me. Madison's buoyant mood was contagious, filling the car and making the corners of my mouth turn up. She began to giggle for no reason, so much that I did, too.
Our giggling turned into a barrage of laughter, wheezing, and failed attempts to stop. Madison wiped away tears, her fingers and the windshield wipers working extra.